Greetings in Jesus' name to each one this morning. Welcome to everyone. Special welcome to each of our visitors. Richard, it's good to have you with us this morning. And everyone that's here, glad for all of you. We're privileged to have Brother Gerald High with us this morning, and he will be bringing us the message. The short way to introduce him is he's Travis's dad. So we're glad to have him with us this morning, and he'll be sharing the message with us. But first of all, for a devotional, I'd like to look at Christ's holistic healing. And holistic healing is a comprehensive approach to wellness that includes the body, mind, and spirit. And I'm going to leave contemporary holistic healing with that definition and look at some of the ways that Christ demonstrated holistic healing. And there's a lot of examples that are found in the Bible, and I don't think that one of them is necessarily better than another. So I chose one that I had read in my personal devotion here some time back, and some of the instances had kind of stood out to me. So we're going to look at that in Luke chapter 5. And part of what drew me to this topic was earlier this week as we stood by the graveside of little Carissa and Tanzia and listened to Dalton as he shared words of comfort with us from a place of deep grief. And as we were there, I thought of the way that Christ speaks into broken and difficult situations. I thought of prayers, answered and unanswered. Prayers for great things and prayers for mundane tasks. I thought of the way that Christ heals, both in great griefs and in small hurts. And I thought of the way that Christ's healing is more than just skin deep. It happens in many ways. He heals physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Christ heals entirely. So look with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read most of this chapter. Part of this is a parallel passage to what Matt read this morning in Matthew 9, so we might skip over some of these. But start in verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of the town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find, okay, this is what was read this morning. So I think we'll skip down to verse 25. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We've seen strange things today. That's a very interesting phrase to me. We've seen strange things today. And they were all amazed. Oops, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's where we'll stop now. And as I looked at this passage again, there are a number of instances in here where Christ healed, and his holistic healing is in evidence. There's a healing or a providing for body, mind, and spirit. As we look at the miracle of fish, this looks like, at first glance, to be one that's purely physical. There's fish to eat, and that's it. But I think there's more to it. When did Jesus approach these men? Was it when they were fresh, ready to go? They'd had a good night of sleep. They're ready to do something for the Lord. No. These men were failures as fishermen. They'd worked all night long doing their job, and they hadn't gotten anything for it. They were discouraged. They were tired. They were worn out. I'm guessing just a little bit grumpy. They were trying to get ready for the next night of fishing. They were cleaning their nets. And here, in the middle of all of this, comes Jesus and says, you know, could you just let me borrow your boats for a little bit and push them out a little bit from shore? And I'm sure that a temptation for them would have been to say, you know what? We don't need this right now. I can't handle it. My plate is full. We weren't able to get done what we wanted to get done, and we're tired, and we're worn out, and we're trying to get ready for tomorrow, and you're trying to ask us to do something else. But they didn't. They said, sure. By all appearances, they were honored that Christ would approach them in this way. And I think in that, there was some emotional healing. Christ saw them as men. He saw them as people, not as just worn out, failed fishermen. He saw them for who they were. And I think there was an emotional healing that came with that. Christ offered them the self-respect of work that was worthwhile, giving them a taste, maybe, of what following him could entail. And by their obedience, then, both by being able to use their boat as a pulpit, and also then in obeying Christ when he said, go and try to catch fish again, they saw what following Christ could entail, how that he would be able in any circumstance to meet their needs. So he offered physical healing, the catch of fish, the emotional healing, the opportunity to be fulfilled, and the spiritual healing by the call to follow and walk with him. But there's one note that I think is important, and that is the spiritual healing did not come until they had left the physical healing behind. That was an amazing miracle. All these fish, what a windfall. I mean, imagine the price these things could have brought, and they could have, you know, the next night of fishing wouldn't have been half so stressful because, you know, they would have had some money laid by. And then Christ said, you know what? I just gave you all of this, but you're going to have to leave it behind. The spiritual healing didn't come until they had left the physical healing behind. It reminds me of something that Dalton shared the other morning. This is in my words, but something along the lines of always in all things the Lord's. And then we have the miracle of leprosy being cleansed. And here again is a physical healing, but it includes an emotional healing as well. Being able to be once again part of his family, to be able to interact with his friends, to be able to be part of society at large. And then, by obeying Christ, going and showing himself to the priest, he was obeying the law of Moses. He was now going to, once again, be able to share in the worship at the synagogue. Christ's healing was not only physical, it was emotional and spiritual. It took this man from isolation to inclusion. And then the man with palsy. Again, Christ used physical healing to showcase a much more powerful spiritual healing. The forgiveness of sin, the ultimate spiritual healing. And we see here again a regular occurrence that often happens in Christ's healing, and that is he asks something of the one that he was healed. In this case, it was something that the man would not have been able to do before. He said, take up your bed. This man had been carried there. Not only carried, but carried in a tremendous way. The roof was taken away and he was let down because he was so infirm he couldn't even help knock people out of the way in order to get close to Christ. And now he was able to take up his bed. But Christ asked him to do that. And here, Christ first forgave the man's sin. And then he proved his divinity, his ability to forgive sin, by then producing a miracle of physical healing that never could be done otherwise, never could be done in just a normal physical way. Now this man is again able to provide for his family. His sins are forgiven. He's a productive member of society. He experienced the holistic healing of Christ. And imagine the bond of friendship that must have existed between this man and the friends that had worked so hard to bring him to Christ. That would have generated from this. And I think that should be an inspiration to us to walk with our friends in hard times and to lead each other to Christ. And then we have the story of Levi the publican. What was the healing here? There was no physical malady. I think there was a healing from a societal stigma, a spiritual healing. Jesus called a despised tax collector, someone that everyone else said, we can't stand this man because of what he does. And I think that Jesus was recognizing the heart cry of this man, of Levi Matthew. But again, there was something that was going to be required of him. In order to be healed, he had to leave his job. He had to leave his work. I find it interesting that Jesus did not condemn him for his work. He didn't say, oh, you horrible tax collector man. You've got to leave that. He just called him out of it. He didn't condemn him for his work, but he called him out of his work. And as Levi left that, there was a societal stigma that was healed as he came with Christ. There was another kind of stigma, however, that was attached to him as he followed Christ. And he eventually lost his life for his dedication to following Christ. But it was one that paled in comparison with the spiritual and emotional healing and sense of fulfillment that he obtained in following Christ. So for us, Christ cures and heals in many ways. There's many times things that we feel are unhealed. There are physical things especially that we don't understand and that we feel that are unhealed in our minds. But Christ heals in many ways. And if we're hurting, if we're broken, if we're bleeding, if we're isolated, frustrated, bitter, confused, worn out, he might ask something of us. But if we follow him, he will heal us.